Well, praise God. Well, as you know, our theme for this year is Kingdom Reign. And if you missed last week, can I encourage you to go online and have a look? Because if you didn't hear last week, really it's a foundation for last Vision Sunday. Obviously, we put out the theme and you saw that last week was a real foundational week. Again, I want to share a little bit more of foundational things about our theme of Kingdom Reign. But if you missed last week, please go online and listen to that. Just go onto our website and you'll find it quite easily. You'll be able to hear that. So it's important that we all flow and grow together. We're growing together as a church and there's a continuity we're building together. And so I really encourage you with that. Remember, our key scripture this year is Psalm 145, verse 15. It says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations." I want to talk a little bit about this world because we have a look around this world. We see that this world is a real mess at the moment. You look at all the things that are happening, even little, even insignificant things like sport, how the corruption even goes through that. We see all the things that are happening in this earth. We see economies that are collapsing on the verge of collapse. We see all many different things happening. And some people say, well, where's the reign of God? He's supposed to be reigning. Does he not reign here upon this earth? So we want to look at that this morning. Father, we just bring the word before you. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us in many ways, Lord. But Lord, you speak to us through your scripture, Lord, where you reveal your heart, you reveal your plan, you reveal your purpose, you reveal who you are. Lord, you reveal who we are, Lord, and the plan and purpose for our own hearts and our own lives. And so, Lord, we come before you this day, Lord, as we open your word and pray that you will speak to us. And, Father, continue to speak to each person as every day, Lord, as they do that grow daily, Lord, as they're praying, Lord, and reading through the Bible or the New Testament this year, Father. I pray, Lord, you continue to speak to us in that way. But, Lord, as we open your word together, we pray that you speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to have a little look about this earth and the mess that it's in and look at really what needs to be done and really who is responsible to do something about it and how that can be accomplished. So I just want to say, first of all, we've just read that we said in that scripture, it says your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, your dominion endures for all generations. And so is God in control of this earth? Is the king of this earth? And there'll be people that would say, well, obviously not. Have a look at all the things that are happening. You'll see that Satan is obviously in control. He's obviously having his way. You see all the things that are happening. I just want to challenge some of that this morning because it'll challenge the way that you look at your own life, the responsibility that's been placed upon each and every one of us, and how we can actually see things turn around on this earth. But Psalm 47 and verse 2 and also verse 6 makes it really clear that God is the king of the earth. He says, "How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great king over all the earth." Not just bits of it, not just some of it. He is the great king over all the earth. "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne." Who's in control of the earth? Who reigns? Makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? There's not a room for ambiguity in that. And so we see that God is ruling and he's reigning and he's in charge of everything. And if we look at this earth and we see, well, this earth is a mess. Is God not doing his job? Or what's the problem when we have a look and see what's happening upon this earth? Well, one of the important things that we've got to understand, it's like God who is in control of everything and in charge of everything. Everything is under his authority. Everything is under his dominion. So where did things start to go wrong on the earth? And it became when things started to degrade, if you like, in terms of what happening here. It all started with when God actually gave authority to man. I just want you to always remember this. God is always in control. He's the owner of the house, if you like. If the earth was a house, God is the owner of the house. But what God did is he said to man, he said, "Look, this is my house. What I want you to do, I'm going to actually let you come and live in my house, this earth, and I'm actually going to put you in charge of the house. I want you to have the run of the house. You're going to be in charge of the gardens to upkeep, make sure the garden keeps nice. But in the house, I want you to enjoy the house. It's a beautiful house that I've made for you. And I'm going to let you live in the house and I'm going to charge you anything. You can live in the house free. You can manage the house and look after it all." And it tells us this. You look in Genesis 1:28. He says, and this goes right back to the Garden of Eden. All right, we're looking at what's gone wrong with the earth. And we want to see, okay, well, let's look right down at the foundations. says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And he gave man a dominion right from the very beginning. He said, you guys rule. And so the earth, it was a house, if you like. God put man in charge of the house. He says, look, it's my house. I own it. I'm the owner. I'm in charge of it ultimately. It's on the title deed is my name, the creator, the owner. But I'm going to let you live in this house and I'm going to give you dominion and authority over that. Also, Psalm 8, it also says this. It says, it's a song that we sing. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that you're thinking? Is it true that you're thinking of me? Yeah, it's true. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? Why would you put us in this incredible house and put us in charge of it? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all that swim the paths of the sea. And so, God, who are we? But this, we are a created being, even as the animals and all of those things. But God actually gave us a stature, a position higher. He said, no, you're in charge of the house. And so Adam's there in the garden, and then God gives him Eve. So this house, enjoy. Look at the beautiful garden. Look at all the wonderful things. You guys are in control. But that's where things started to go a little bit wrong. And that's where I really want to bring this and then begin to challenge those, some of the ways that we think. So what happened? We all know the story in the Garden of Eden. We don't have time to read it all now, but I'm sure that you're aware of that. That God had said to man, he said, look, there's a couple of trees there. There's a tree of good knowledge of the good and evil, tree of life. Don't touch them, don't eat them, do it. Everything like the rest of the house is yours. So maybe it's like in this house, there's a little locked cupboard there. There's a little cupboard there. Well, maybe it's not locked. A little cupboard, and he said, look, you can do whatever you like in the whole house. Have the run of the house. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Put the TV on. Have a spa. Do whatever you like. Enjoy the house. And but there's a little cupboard here. Just don't go in the cupboard. All right, it's my cupboard. Don't want you to go in it. Everything else is yours. Well, we know the story how the devil came along and then he began to say to Eve, he deceived her. He said, well, why don't you have the apple off the tree? Or maybe in this case he says, hey, I wonder what's in the cupboard, eh? Pretty little good-looking cupboard. It's quite a nice cupboard, really. It must be something really good in there. And so Eve opens up the cupboard and goes, wow, Adam, look at this. And Adam goes, wow. And he begins to use whatever it was that God had in there, his treasure, maybe played on his Xbox, whatever it was, whatever this thing was, something precious to God, not an Xbox, but something that God didn't want man to have. He didn't have anything, but you can, don't touch that. And man played with that. He grabbed it and he touched it. But see, it's more than just sin entering in. Because when God did something, when man did something God told him to do, he did more than just do something naughty, he sinned, and that was the beginning of sin, which tainted all of mankind from then on from that point. But also once he did that, he didn't actually just allow sin into his life. He actually started a rebellion. Satan actually stirred him to rebel. Once we start sinning and doing things that God did not tell us not to do, we've got to see that that is actually a rebellion to God's authority, because he's the owner of the house. But as soon as he did that, he was beginning to encroach on the dominion that God had as title over the house, that God was in control. But worse than that, when he opened that door and took what God told him not to take, he actually handed over the keys to the house. He had the keys to the house. He had the keys to the earth. But when this act of sin, this act of eating of the tree that he was told not to, or going into the cupboard and touching something that God said, I don't want you to touch this thing. He actually got the keys to the house and he got them and he actually placed them by that act of rebellion, that act of sin, and he placed those keys in the devil's hands. And so he was in the house, but also the devil is now living in the house. Now whose house is it? It's still God's house. Who owns the house? Who's in charge of the house? But man, who was placed as a steward over the house, when he did this, he actually started a little rebellion. The devil enticed him. The devil stirred him up to do that, and he handed those keys of the house and put them in the devil's hands. Now, just got to remember the role of the devil in all of this. That man who was given dominion, who did he give these keys to? Like, would you do that? Someone asked you to house sit. Someone's going on holidays for 3 months. going to America to visit Mark and Tanya there, and the house, and they said, come look, you can stay in the house, or eat what's in the fridge, yours is fine, don't go in that cupboard, but whole house is yours. And then they invite somebody over, and that person says, well, let's have a little look in there. And then they do that, but in the process of that, they end up handing the keys over to this person. Now, this person is a bad dude, a horrible person, who invites all their friends to begin to trash the place and do everything, and you're in the house. And eventually, the problem is that men begin to get swept up on all of that, and they join the party, begin to trash the house also. But who was Satan? He was one who, Scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 14, is where it talks about Satan, how he had aspired to set up a kingdom. He actually wanted to set his throne above the stars of heaven. That's what he wanted to do. Because this is about kingdom. We're talking about dominion here. We're talking about authority. We're talking about reign and rule. We're talking about dominion as we talk about these things. Now, Satan was in heaven. He wanted to get his right up there, put his throne up there. There's over the stars of God in heaven. And the Bible says there was a war in heaven. Now, it wasn't with God. He's not, doesn't faze him at all. He just sent Michael, one of the archangels, with some of the angels. They had a war with Satan and his angels and turfed them out. Where do they turf them? Ooh, plop, down here to earth. So Satan's here on earth. He's got this thing within him. He wants dominion. He wants control. He wants power. He wants to rule something. He's got nothing. And so he sees man who has the title, if you like. He's got the keys to the house. So he weaves his way in there, causes man to sin, and in that very process where sin then entered and tarnished all of mankind, but this act of rebellion also was the very thing that handed the keys to the devil. And so then we look at the world and we say, why is the world such a mess? It's because who's got the keys? Who do we hand the keys to at that time? But I want to tell you something, that Satan doesn't have the keys at the moment, but we're coming to that. But from that point, then sin began to have its reign. The spirit of lawlessness, the scripture says, was unleashed. And so this whole house suddenly begins to get trashed. And a whole lot of stuff's going on in the room. There's people doing drugs in one room. There's people doing other things they shouldn't be doing in another room. And this thing, people think they're having a party. They're actually destroying the house and destroying themselves in the very process as they trash this place. And the devil sets himself up. He sets himself up as one who's going to begin to run this place. And that's the situation back at the fall. But that's not the situation now. I want to explain that to us. Because many people, even Christians, think that Satan is in charge of this world. They think that he's the one with the keys and he's in control of what goes on. And somehow, some Christians believe that somehow that this has become Satan's house. It's not his house. It belongs to the Lord. And not only is it not Satan's house, I want to tell you, he doesn't even have the keys anymore. I want to show you how he had the keys taken off him. Now, when the Lord looked at the earth and looked at this house, if you like, and saw these guys are trashing my place, they're trashing the whole thing. So what he did is he came in with a big flood and he swept it all out, washed it all clean with the flood. We know the flood which came and destroyed the earth. The problem is the process of doing that, it didn't do anything with the keys. The devil still had the keys and man still had sin. He was still rebellious to God. He had actually came and surrendered himself to the dominion of the devil and said, devil, I'm going to be under you and I'm going to do what you want me to do through his act of rebellion. And so even though the house was swept clean, man was back in there, but the devil was back right there with him, and their sin began to propagate and these destructive and deadly parties began to happen again where people are dying, literally, horrible things that are happening. So God did something else, and God then he said, okay, this place is in chaos. I'm going to give them some rules. And so God sent them some rules and said, look, here's some rules how I want this house to be run. These are the rules of the house. You know, you should not murder. You should not kill, because they're doing plenty of those sort of things. You're not stealing for one another. Don't commit adultery. Well, they're doing plenty of that. Lying. All these things, God gives them a whole bunch of rules. More than that, he lays down the whole law and says, this is the way this house is supposed to be running. But the problem with that is that it did not actually deal with the sin nature of man. And there were some that would aspire and want to live a righteous life and come under the authority of God and live his way. But the problem is sin in the heart of man was still there. And then the house was still getting trash and all these bad things that were going on, all this wickedness that was still happening upon the earth. And again, people would look at that and say, well, gee whiz, the devil, he's in control of this place, isn't he? He's in control of the earth. And at that time, he had the keys, but he never had the house. God always had title. He always had dominion. It was always his house. So the rules came in. But then God had to do something else. He said, okay, I'm going to have to do something very radical now. And what he knows that these keys have to get back. We need to get these keys back because the devil's just having a field day destroying lives. People who think they're having a party and they're dying in the process and don't even realize it, some of them. And so the Lord had to come up with a way of getting the keys back. And that's when we see Christ enter in. It's interesting, when Jesus was right in towards the end of his ministry, if you have a look, we'll read the verse in John chapter 12. This is Jesus talking right before he was going to go, preparing to go before the cross. And this is what he says. He says, now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And so he puts it on notice straight away there. So devil, he's no king of this house. He might have made himself, called himself a prince because he wanted a kingdom. He makes himself like the prince. The Lord says, no, now's the time we're going to boot this guy. We're going to take the keys back off him. We're going to take that off him. And as I am lifted up, when I go on the cross, something's going to change. There's going to be something that changes. In John 14:30, it won't come up on the screen, but Jesus says, I'll not speak with you much longer, for the prince of the world is coming, but he's got no hold on me. The prince of the world sees Jesus is there. He's going to try to come against him and try to destroy the Christ. In John 16:11, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit would come and comfort us, he says, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Jesus himself came. The owner of the house sent his own son into the house. And he says, this enough is enough. I've had enough of this. Too much destruction. You're trashing the house, but more than that, you're trashing the people that are in the house. People are dying here. And all these little rooms, all these things going on, all of this destruction. And so the owner of the house, he sends his son and he says, oh, I'm sending him to reclaim the keys of this house. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus died upon the cross. Now, God always ruled. He always had ultimate ownership. He's the ruler of all things. But man stupidly not only allowed sin, the destructive thing in his life, not only was rebelling against God by being sinful, he got these keys and handed them to the devil. When Jesus came on the cross, when he died on the cross, and we read in Scripture, we haven't got time to go through everything this morning, it says that if they had realized what Jesus was going to do, they'd never put him on the cross. Because the very act of Jesus dying on the cross, that act of full surrender to the will of the owner, the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, the universe, as he surrendered this body, his physical body upon the cross, was the very act of him then just saying, thanks, buddy, ripping those keys off the devil. And he has the keys now. He is the one who has the keys. He put those keys in his hand. And so the devil no longer has those keys in the earth. In Colossians 1:13, it says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And so when we come to Christ, we all still got to live in this house. We're all in this house, all in this earth, all living there together. But because Christ has grabbed a hold of that, if we grab a hold of Christ, we are no longer under Satan's dominion, the one who set himself up as this little prince. We're no longer under his authority that he would have his way with our lives. But too many Christians think that the devil has sway. I'm in the world and the devil has the world and he's going to influence my life. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But we've got to remember, he's not in control. He does not rule upon this earth. Jesus himself rules. But some of us, we live like the devil still owns the show. We hear about the economy, so we become nervous about our job. We hear about all fall in sales, so we're worried about our business, whether there's a slump in sales for the business, whether we're selling this or if we're in business, whether, oh no, this is all happening in the world. And we're allowing that as if we're under that dominion, that whatever happens in this world is going to affect me. Because remember, we still live in this house, but we're not under the devil. We're not under his authority. We're under the authority of the owner of the house. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, had said, no, I gave this authority to man. It wasn't for you to play with Satan. These people aren't your playthings. They're not your toys that you might destruct them. No, that was not the plan. He gives the keys, but Christ has the keys in his hand. And it encourages us on Scripture. It says here in Ephesians 2:2, it says, in which you used to live. Now, before we knew about Christ, we're all living in this house, and we think, well, this is the house. That's life, isn't it? And that's how people think. They don't know any different. They think the destruction and the heartache, the pain, all of the stuff is just, well, that's just it. It says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Notice that phrase. What's the devil the ruler of? Where's his kingdom? Air. He don't have no rulership here. He's not the king of the earth. He doesn't have dominion here. He was turfed out of heaven. Christ said, so what are you doing? He's hanging around in the air. And that's where he tries to influence people through whispering in their ear. He brings deception upon people, brings deceit, tries to let fear creep into people's lives. But he does not have dominion. He does not have authority here. Even upon this earth, he does not have authority. It says, in ways you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. So there is, why is there a whole lot of stuff in the world? It's because Adam didn't realize that this door was the doorway to a rebellion. And there's a whole, from that time on, mankind was living in rebellion, excuse me, to the ways of God. Now that rebellion is still occurring in the heart of man. Every man and every woman that hasn't come under the fact that, oh, hang on, he owns the house. And actually, I've got to honor the owner of the house. I've got to look after the people in the house. And I've got to look after this earth. I've got to look after those things because he owns the house. But there's still this spirit that's being stirred up within them. It was impregnated in them when they opened the door. Sin nature entered into man. And the ruler of the air is the one who whispers that and incites that and stirs up all the hatred and all the violence, all the wickedness that we see. But he's got no dominion and no authority. And yet people, Christians, live in fear. How can you live in fear? You're under the ruler of the universe who also has dominion over everything, including everything that happens in this world. We're not under that. There's a spirit of lawlessness. The scripture talks about in Thessalonians that is work and cause wickedness in the heart of man. The devil there, the prince of the air, the ruler of the air is there whispering and inciting people. But we're not listening to, we don't listen to his voice. And we don't come under his authority. We are free in our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there are people who still live like that. Matthew 16:19, this is what Jesus says. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So you've got to understand that right from the very beginning, God who owned the house, God owned the house. He said to man, this is my house, but I want you to enjoy the house. Here's the keys. Enjoy the house. Don't go in this place. Man came, Adam came. When he opened up that door and let sin enter in, when he started a rebellion, he handed the keys to the devil. Christ comes and says, no, this is this belongs to the Father. This is under his eternal reign. He says, he gets those keys, he snatches them back. Now what's he doing? Now the scripture says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but he didn't take the keys there. He's got these keys. What did he do with the keys? Who did he give them back to? He gave them back to us. He gave them back to you. You have the keys. You have those very things. And it says, whatever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bound on heaven will be on earth. And that scripture there, when it talks about, I'll give you the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, it's the same as the word kingdom of God. It's the same word. This is written to the Jews. But the sense, the exact word is, I've given you the keys to the kingdom of God. Not even just the earth. I've given you the keys, guys. I've given you such an incredible authority that I've placed within your hands. And yet many of us don't even want to hold the key. And some of us are running around like, oh no, we're in the devil's house. And we've got to hide. Let's find a little cupboard and hide. Lest the devil come and he finds us and he hurts us. No, that's not what it's like. We've been given keys of the kingdom. The dominion, the authority, has actually now been invested in us. Christ has taken those keys off the devil and he says, guys, here you go. Here you are. Now, some of us are saying, Jesus, when will you come? When will you do this? He's saying, he's up at the seat of the right hand with the Father. Now, I'm going to talk, I can't say everything today. But right now, I want you to know that there's keys that he's put within your hand. He's got authority in your hand. And somebody's messing with God's house, which is the earth. Somebody's messing with that. And we're saying, oh, Jesus, when are you going to clean it up? He says, hang on, guys, I gave you the keys. You've got the keys. You do something about it now. I've made you stewards of this earth again and of the people on the earth. And some of them, they don't understand what's going on. They don't realize that there is a change of government that has actually happened upon this earth. And I just want us to begin to understand, and I'm going a lot quicker, cutting some things out for time, but there's something about having those keys of authority in our own lives. That we live in this world. We know we live in this world, and we know there's bad people who do mean things and whatever else. But we don't live our lives in fear. We're not down people that are downtrodden, and we're not worried about the world system. There is a world system that the devil certainly, the prince of the air, is whispering in there because sin has entered into all of those things. And so we don't live like the world, we don't think like the world, but man, we change the world. We begin to let the dominion rule of Christ begin to be exerted upon the earth, because this earth belongs to God. It's his house, his dominion, but those keys are now being put in your hands and in my hands. So what are we going to do with these keys? Are we going to find a nice little room and be all snuggled in there together and hold hands and watch the rest of the room, rest of the house fall apart? As people are killing one another and hitting one another, and they think they're having a party, and they don't realize that the things that they think are giving them pleasure are actually destroying them and taking their very lives. And so people are there totally oblivious to that. I forgot to mention something before about the earth when Satan had these keys. See, when Jesus was tempted by the devil said to him, "Look, tell you what, worship me." The devil said to Jesus, "You worship me and I'll let you have the keys back." That's what the devil said when he tempted him. He says, "You bow before me and worship me." He says, "I have been given," this is what the devil said, "I've been given dominion over all of the earth." So it says this in Luke 4. "And if you worship me, I'm going to give you the keys back." "Here, Jesus, you want the keys? Just get down on your knees and worship me and I'll let you have the keys." Now, Jesus didn't do that. He snatched them off, got the devil and ground him into the dust and said, no. I worship God alone, I'm not worshipping you. And then he snatched the keys off him. But the devil, Jesus never corrected the devil and said, "No, devil, you don't have any keys, you don't have authority." Well, he did, because man gave it to him. The very authority that God had given man, he handed that over and let the devil have a field day. We have all authority that has been given back to us in Christ. And so we've got to understand that. One of the things, if you want to increase your authority, your spiritual authority in your life, see, this is all about dominion, it's about rulership, it's about reigning, it's about authority, it's about coming under subjection. And people that don't know Christ are living in the house and the devil, even though they don't realize that things have changed, they don't realize the devil doesn't have the keys anymore. That's all they've ever known and that's how they live their lives. They always think the devil's got their keys. Well, we know that. We don't live in fear. How can we live in fear? Because Jesus has actually taken them off the devil and put those in our hands. We cannot be fearful even as the world is fearful, so we don't live like that. But if you want to increase your own authority, to stand in that authority in the position that you have, the way to do that, and we're going to talk a lot about these things, but this comes down to the issue of surrender. If you truly make yourself surrendered to God, the King of Kings, then the power and the authority and the dominion that Christ has given you will begin to be outworked and released in your life. That's why when we talk about praying and that's why we talk about worshiping God and fellowshipping, all of those things are so, so important. Not just good little disciplines that we need to do. This is about everything. And the more that you worship God and you humble yourself before him and honor him, the more you begin to realize that dominion and that authority that he's put within your life. And so, but don't cut those things out. People cut those things and they worry why, oh, the world's doing this and this is happening and all of this sort of stuff. If you subject yourself to the King of Kings and honor and worship him, you're going to grow in the revelation and the understanding of the authority that Christ has given you. It says in Philippians 3:20, it says, "Our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So we've got to understand that all authority is in Christ and that he brings everything under his control. Everything. And so we're not afraid of stuff that will happen. We don't live in fear like the rest of men. We don't fear death. We don't fear anything. because we know that we're under Christ, who brings everything under his control. So first thing I want us to understand is that if you want to grow in your own authority and ruling and reigning in Christ, then you need to worship God more. Get down on your hands and knees and love him. Honor him. Pray with him. And the more that you honor him and lift him up, the greater your authority is. Satan's the opposite of that. His was about elevating himself and trying to get position and trying to raise himself up. Didn't have authority. He was a pretender. Never even got to become king. He just thought he was the prince of the world. He got kicked out and now he's the prince of the air. So his kingdom is there. But we've got to believe that God is in control of every situation. Of your health, your finances, your relationships. God is in control of everything. And more than that, he's given us the keys. And sometimes we sit around waiting for God to do something. And he said, guys, I've given you the keys. What else do you want? I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Well, what else do you want? What are you waiting for? Why are you fearful? Why are you worried? Why are you looking at what might happen and what this? Begin to understand we have that dominion and God lifts us up. And as I said before, that I guess we'll flip back to Ephesians 2:20. It says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, so we're no longer under all of the sin that reigns in the world, all the worldly system. We're not under that. It says, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? I'm not advocating anarchy. I'm not saying, oh, great, we can get 180 Ks now because, well, no, there's authorities that God has actually put in place. There's rules and things. But in terms of the world system, where the devil has his reign, brings people down, and all of the things that happen in the world, says, don't act like you're under that anymore. You're not like that anymore. Why do you act like you still belong to it? Why do you panic because unemployment's a problem? Oh, no, I'm not going to get a job. Or people are losing their jobs in your department. Oh, no, I'm going to get axed. Why do you think like that? Say, no. Lord, I stand in your promise, Lord. I know I have to live in this world, but I'm not governed by what happens in this world. I'm under your dominion and your reign. And so I'm going to do that in my health and every area of my life. I'm going to stand in that authority. But what the most important way is that we're going to begin to bring a revelation to others. Because what happens is there's been a change in government. There's something has changed. And a lot of people in the world don't know that. They still think the devil's in control. In fact, well, there's been, to them, generations of sin and sinfulness. They just live like that. They think that life is. They don't understand that something has changed. There's a story back which relates back of, goes back to World War II. Now, 1944, there's this Lieutenant Hiro Onada, and the Japanese, they sent him on this really remote island in the Philippines called Labang. And when he went there, they were given specific instructions. One of the instructions was, you will not kill yourself. You will not die by your own hand. First thing they were told, okay, I'm a soldier, I wasn't planning to, but okay, all right. Next thing they said, you will not surrender. Doesn't matter if you're the only person left alive, you will never surrender. You will hold on. If you've got no food, then you'll find food. You'll eat bananas, you'll eat coconuts, you'll do whatever you can. He'd given explicit orders, this lieutenant. Now, he had 16 men, and they were on this tiny little island. And he divided them up into four companies of four men. Now, what happened is that the war sort of bypassed them. The war in the Philippines, they left on this island. And they're there, but they're fighting this guerrilla war. They're told to use guerrilla warfare if necessary. If anything happened, the island got overrun. You don't surrender, you do guerrilla warfare. And so for the next 30 years after the end of the war, this Lieutenant Hiro Onada, he had his own little war going. For 30 years, he was there and he would shoot at some Filipinos so the police would come. There was leaflets distributed saying, guys, the war is well and truly over, it's finished, but they didn't believe it. They just thought it was propaganda. Because every time they'd shoot at a villager and they thought the villagers were soldiers dressed up to trick them, a patrol would come looking for them. So they thought the conflict was going on. They'd even hear some gunfights where one of the other units of four men, which they dispersed over the island, were fighting with police or whoever was shooting at them. Anyway, eventually, after all of the years, he was the only guy left. And he lived on coconuts, he lived on bananas, he rationed his bananas. And his bullets, and it would occasionally kill a cow, eat this cow. But 30 years later, a guy from Japan, who was his original commander, who gave him the order, retired elderly gentleman, this guy flew out to the island, managed to get this guy to meet, and he was the only one who convinced this guy, hey, the war is over. The war's been over for 30 years, and yet you've still been living like the war's been going on. You've still been living like it wasn't all over. Now, President Fernando Marcos, he was the one who actually pardoned this guy 30 years later, after the government had changed, after the war was all over. And see, that's how I really see all the people who don't know Christ. They're still living as if that was still going on. They're still living as if there was, you know, that Japanese emperor, there was a war, but there's been a total change that's happened. And there's a whole lot of people out there, like this poor Japanese guy, and he's living on bananas and coconuts for 30 years in rain and running around, not having any place, because he didn't know something had changed. He didn't know that there was no longer a dominion. This island was no longer under the control. The government was no longer under control of Japan, and therefore there was no more war going on. And yet there are people out there who live their whole lives thinking that Satan is in control, thinking they have to follow the world system that he's influencing as he puts his seeds and he breathes and speaks that into them. They don't know any better. They think that's still going on. And so they think that's what life is. And they don't know. Now, this Japanese soldier, even though he managed to kill 30 Filipinos over the 30 years and wound about 100 others in the process, he's just fighting the war. He just thinks that's what it was about. He thought that was his life. And how many people are out there in our community who don't know that there's been a change of government, that something has changed? That's when Jesus said to us, he says, Matthew 28, 18 and 19, he says this, then Jesus said to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. He says, look, guys, keys have been taken back. And guys, I want you to send you guys out. And I want you to let them know. Let them know. There's a new government here. Devil does not reign over this place. He does not have dominion here. He's not the one that you have to. Because if you don't follow Christ, you're stuck under him. And you'll share the same fate that he will suffer. And so Jesus says, therefore, go on that basis. That's why we have our Book of Life prayer. That's already been updated with all the new names that we've put in there. And that's why we need to be praying for those people. Because they're there. Like the little Japanese soldier who's stuck out there for 30 years. They don't know any different. They don't know what's changed. And unless we go out there and tell them, they're going to keep living like that. They're going to be full of the heartache and destruction and the isolation and everything else that they're going to suffer out there. So we need to go out there. Tell them. Tell them. You've got friends in your family who don't understand, who don't know that. They're the little Japanese soldier who are going to maybe live and die like that. Not knowing that, hang on, something's changed. Christ has come. He's made a difference. The cross changed everything. And so I encourage us with that. Finally, one scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 25. And this is Jesus summing up everything. He says, then the end will come. It's Paul summing up what Jesus will do. The end will come when he, which is Jesus, hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he's destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And so what it's saying is that God, who owns the house, now this house needs to be taken over again. But how is Christ actually reigning? How is he actually exercising his dominion? He's doing that through us. Through you and me. That's how he works. And so we're talking about this year about kingdom reign. I want you to understand something. This is very critical for us. If we actually grab a hold of what we mean when we get to this, now I've touched on many things, too many things to open up in very limited time. If we can grab a hold of it, it's going to change the way that you think. It'll change the way you think about what's happening around you. It'll change the way you think about what may be even happening to you. It'll change the way you think about other people, particularly those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And rather than being ones who are, here we are, we're in this wicked world and here we are with a little candle trying to shine our light amongst the sea of darkness and the devil runs the show. We think, hang on a minute, God owns the house. And he's actually given us the keys of the house. So I'm not going to be messed around by some freeloader devil who's trying to have his influence in the house? No way. I'm not going to allow that anymore. I've been given authority in Christ. I've been given the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been empowered by his Spirit. And I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to be worried about what's happening in the world around me, but I'm certainly going to be one who helps to turn the house around. The only way we're going to turn this house around is not by huffing and puffing against the devil. It's by standing in who we are, not being intimidated, not being fearful, not being swayed or dissuaded, but being strong, rock solid in the things of God, and then getting to all the others that have been in the house and things that have been on drugs and plastered out of their brain and half dead or whatever they're in, who don't know God, who think that this is all life is. Pick them up, tell them about the love of Christ, clean them off and say, guys, you don't have to live like that. You actually can come under God's dominion, because that path is death, eternal death, but you can come under his reign. And that's what God has charged us with. So let's pray this morning. I just want to quickly pray this morning. Let's stand and let's pray. But this thing this year is so really important. So remember, God is in control of this world. The devil is not in control of this world. There's a world system that's under his influence. But we want to change that. We change that one heart at a time by reaching out to people. Let them know that, hang on, the devil's not the ruler here. But don't be hoodwinked. Don't you be hoodwinked into thinking that the devil has sway and, oh, I've got to be fearful of him. He doesn't even have the keys. You've got the keys in your own hands. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning. Lord, I know I've covered many things and maybe not expressed them as clearly as I want to have done. But Father, I just pray, Lord, that we begin to grab a hold, Lord. This whole kingdom reign deal is so important, Father. It's about everything, Lord. It's about our very life, Lord. It's about how we think. It's about how we feel. It's about how we behave. It's about the decisions we make, the choices we make. It's about how we live our life. Lord, that we don't live under the dominion of this world, Lord. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And Father, help us to understand how that we can stand, Lord, and enforce the victory, Lord. This is your earth. And all these people, Lord, are the ones that you've already died for. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that we will have the courage to tell people that there's a different government. Things have changed now. You don't have to be under the devil's sway. You don't have to allow him to have power in his life. Father, I pray that we'll have the courage to do that, Lord, that we will have worship you, number one, Lord, that we surrender ourselves to you. And in doing so, Lord, for our surrender, Lord, that we increase our own dominion, our own authority. The more we lift you up, the more that we have a revelation of that, of who you are, Lord, the more we see who we are. And Father, that we will know that God is in control. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, Lord, you reign. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've already put the keys also in our hands. And Lord, help us over this year to understand what that really means. And Father, help us to be the ones that tell people, hey, don't be holed up on your little island. There's been a change of government. The war's over. Christ has won the war. He's won the victory. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, let that touch every heart this day. Lord, we want to be stirred in our spirits as we begin to understand, Lord, that your reign is eternal. Lord, you reign over all things, even this earth, Father, even our own lives, even our circumstances, our situations. And Lord, we again acknowledge that under you, Lord, we're not under the whim of the devil. We're not under his authority. We're not under this world system, Lord. We have to live with it, but Lord, we're not a part of it. And Lord, we can rule in that, Lord, because we know the owner of the house. Father, we want to honor you this day. Touch every heart, every person, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.